Good morning. Hope everybody's doing well on this Thursday morning. We have a huge daf ahead. A huge daf ahead in words, huge daf ahead in concepts. We are doing much of Sefer Shoftim analysis right now on Shimshon. We brought up Shimshon in the Mishnah as a Mida Keneged Mida example. And now we're going to discuss Shimshon a lot. So let's begin with Shimshon. It's very important just to give an overview that we're going to bring up a lot of psukim throughout Shoftim. Larry can probably give us a lot of insight, right? Because aren't you doing Shoft now with Ray Behar?
We're on Pasuk, 18.
Great. So we're going to bounce ahead a little bit just to go through the story of Shimshon, what happened with the Plishtim in Shimshon. It is way too much for the time that we have, so we'll really move through, but we'll try to just sprinkle in some background as to what's going on. Shimshon is an enigmatic character. Shimshon was a Nazir. Shimshon married three seemingly Plishtim women because he was trying to infiltrate the Plishtim so that he can basically attack them from within. And throughout these psukim, or throughout the Gemara, we're always bouncing back and forth as to was what he was doing right or wrong. Seemingly, according to Mefarshim, is that he did follow his eyes. The first Gemara is going to bring down a little bit. He did follow his eyes. But as the Mefarshim bring down, we'll hopefully talk about it a little bit throughout, is that really what he was doing was good. Really his thoughts were good. His intentions were good.
His intentions were good.
His
heart always kind of took him in the wrong
place. Harder his eyes. And that's why his eye was poked out. But we'll see that they were living at a time where the Jews did not have enough merit to fight the Plishtim by themselves. So Shimshon basically took it upon himself that he's going to be the sole warrior that's going to infiltrate from within the Shabak, so to say. You know, before they had the Shabak of people dressing up and going into Arab territories, being Arabs, he was the one who was able to get in, marry somebody, and then kind of from within do his thing. So let's go through the Gemaras. Let's try to discuss. I highly recommend, again, more supplementation. Let's get started here. It's Thursday. We don't have much time. It says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. Let's have an example of Mida Keneged Mida as we had in the Mishnah. Shimshon Be'enov Mara. Shimshon rebelled with his eyes, so to say. What does that mean? Shneimar Vayomer Shimshon El Aviv. Shimshon told his father, Oso Kachli Ki Hi Yeshara Be'enai. I want to take her as a wife. Ki yeshara be'enai. Literally, that's what made it. Because she's kind of righteous in my eyes. That's what my eyes want. And that's what we see. Lefigach nakru plishtim esenov. So his intentions might have been right, but there was some sort of following after his eyes in marrying this woman. Again, he married a woman from Timnah. Then he apparently judged Kal Yisrael for a 20-year
It's also a Hebrew expression that say that it's like something in your heart also.
First, their eyes seen,
and
right, and then he married a woman from Aza, and then he married Delilah, which we're going to discuss. There were these three marriages. Shenemar vayochazu plishtim vayinakru esenov, and the plishtim took him, and they poked out his eyes. Ani, wait, this is really so. Vavivimo lo yado ki mehashem hi. What do you mean he followed his eyes? This seems to be from Hashem, as Rashi says, the second Rashi on the Gemara, ki mehashem hu shechishek ba'osa isha, that his desire for that woman kedei lehitgarot be plishtim. That means that he wanted to fight the plishtim, but never. So it seems like it was from Hashem. It wasn't just from his eyes. Says the Gemara, ki azal mia basar yashru se'o azal, or basar, as the Bach says, yashrus einav azal. You're right that even though it was from Hashem in concept, he still allowed out his eyes to kind of lead him a little bit. Tanya Rebbe Omer Tilas Kilkula Baza. Really, his lust began in downfall in Aza, which was the second marriage there. Lefikach Loka Baza. Therefore, he was hit. He was struck in Aza. Tilas Kilkula Baza. Tiksiv. Where do we know that? Vayelch Shimshon Azosa Vayarsham Isha Zona Vahulu. We see the Isha Zona. Lefikach Loka Baza. Tiksiv. Vayoridu Oso Azosa. Voksiv. Vayerid Shimshon. This is where he first erred, Timnah saw. We see here that he did err. Vayered Shimshon, literally Shimshon went down, which seems to be some sort of downfall. His downfall, Timnah saw, which was by the first marriage to a Plishtim woman, a Plishtim in singular? A Plishtimite. Whatever. A Plishtinim. He married a Plishtim woman, a woman from Philistine, and that's where he erred. So what do you mean? Why is Gaza, Aza, the area where he got punished? Tchila kilklua mia ba'azahi. You're right, but really his punishment really came in Aza. And as we said, this was after his marriage in Timnah, where he was able to do harm. This is after he began to be a shofid for Klal Yisrael for 20 years. That's where the marriage in Aza took place. Vahi achrechein vayavi isha b'nachal sarek. Ushma delila. Her name was Delilah, the famous Delilah. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Ilmali Nikrashma Delilah. Her name is really Delilah. Ruya Haisa Shetikra Delilah. And it should be called Delilah. Why? Dildalas Kocho, because she cut off his strength. Dildalas Libo, she cut off his heart. Dildalas Masav, and she really cut down his actions. Let's discuss each one. Dildalas Kocho, she cut down his strength. Iksiva Yasar Kocho Me Olav. And she literally kind of removed his strength from him, which is... Why? Because she found out that his hair was a source of his strength, and she cut off his hair. Dildalas libo diksivatera delilah ki higilas shemes kol ki higilas kol libo. We see that she cut off his heart. Dildalas masav distalei shechina minei. And how do we know that she cut off his actions? Because when he was with her, the shechina was no longer with him. Diksiv hu lo yada ki Hashem sar mei alav. He didn't know that Hashem removed himself from Shimshon. Where do we know that she was... From where did she know? She was trying to find out the source of Shimshon's strength, and she was asking him all these questions. Finally, he buckled under the pressure, and he said that really the strength was from his hair. His hair, he was a nazir, he had long hair. But where did she know that was the truth? Amar Michanin, Amar Rebbe, two answers. First three words here, Nikarn Divrei Emes. First answer, powerful three words. I have it underlined in my Gemara. Nikarn Divrei Emes. Seems to be that when a person tells the truth, sometimes we just know it's the truth. A person can tell us lies, lies, lies. You know that game, two lies and a truth? Somebody can try to make some stuff up. There's something about the truth that often hits close to home. She recognized when he said that, she knew he was telling the truth. Abai Amar Yadabo Ba'osu Tzadik, to lo mapik shem shemayim levatola. No, more practical. Or not more practical, but a different angle, that she knew about the tzaddik, that when he said the Shem Shemayim, it wouldn't be Levatola. Kevan damar Nazir Elokim ani, that because he said the word Nazir Elokim ani, he said the word Elokim. Amra, so she said, Hashta vadei kushta kamar. When he says the word Elokim, I know he's telling the truth. She was literally painting him his whole life. Vata al tsehu. What does vata al tsehu mean? My vata al tsehu. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Devei Rabbi Ami Bishas Gemar Bia Nishmeta Mitachtov. Literally at the time at Gemar Bia, right at the end of Bia, Nishmeta Mitachtov. She so to say removed herself from him, which means that what? That she would kind of move away so he couldn't be Gemar to let out his Zera. And therefore, that was very painful to him. Literally, the Pashup shot in the Gemara. The Ben Yogada says, what? Shimshon's a tzaddik. Shimshon's a tzaddik. Like, we're going to, the Pashup's going to talk about his pain in just a very physical, regular kind of way. No, it must have been that maybe he was able to let out his Zera, but the question was more an element or a depth of it being that the Shechva Zera was being wasted. And that pained him more spiritually than physically. This was when the Malach tells Shimshon's mother that she's about to have this child and that he's going to be a Nazir and she shouldn't drink wine or beer or go to anything Tameh or eat anything Tameh. My Kol Tameh, what does it mean? Nothing Tameh. Was she eating Tameh all this time and now she has to be told not to eat Tameh? No, it's really things that are usher with a nazir. So things that were kosher but usher with a nazir. It says Rashi three lines up from the bottom. Dvar masurim lenazir. Mishras anovim. Kind of like the taste of like soaked grapes. Could go nazir shashar anovim b'mayim. V'yishbem tam yayin. If grapes were soaked in water, so therefore, but the grapes are no longer there, so you just have a tam. Then the tam is there, but the actual grape is not. So even that, she wasn't allowed to drink. There's a beautiful thought, I forget who brings it down, but I heard this from Rabbi Rosner, is that she wasn't going to be a nazir, so why did she have to start doing these things that her child was going to do? The beautiful thought about chinuch is that the only way we can parent a child to do something is not do as I say, not as I do, but the greatest way we can parent a child is by leading by example. I think it's brought down in Planting and Building, and perhaps every single chinuch book or shir would say that the first and foremost angle and strategy of chinuch is to lead by example. By us being here at 6 a.m. and learning Torah, our kids might not see us right now, but they know that, or they'll see one day, Bezrat Hashem, that this is where their father goes at 6 a.m. He wakes up extra early. It's not easy for anybody to wake up early. This is where we come to learn Torah. This is where our hearts and our passion is. Our kids will see that. And that element of passion that we can give over by what we're doing, even by just doing it and not saying anything, that is the greatest sense of chinuch that we can impart to our kids.
Biologically, it's also anything she eats actually goes into her blood system.
That's an excellent point. at some point, women when they're pregnant, everything that happens. But I think they told the father too, if I'm not mistaken. That's how it's. No.
So told the father to make sure that she does.
Okay. Okay. Great. So you're right. So there's a biological element there too. Thank you, David. Hashta dvarim tmei. Sorry. Vayivaka Elokim esamachachesh. Now he was able to drink water that came from the lechi, from the jawbone. This is after he killed 1,000 plishtim. There was no water to drink. He killed them with some sort of jawbone from a donkey. Hashem made a miracle, and there was water flowing from that jawbone. Amar Yitzchak Dvei Rebbe Ami, who evil the dvar tameh, he desired something that was tameh, a woman from a plishtim, right? He followed his eyes, as we said before. Lefikach nitlu chayav bidvar tameh. Therefore, Hashem gave him his life again through something tameh, through the jawbone. We're six lines up from the bottom of Tes on the base. Vatochel ruach Hashem v'gomer, and Hashem, so to say, rested on him. Amar Rebbe Chama bar Chanina, cholson uvoso shel Yaakov Avinu. There's some sort of element of Yaakov Avinu that rested on him. Why? How? Where do we see that? He done nachash alai derech. That the dun, the shape of dun, this was like the prophecy of dun, that he's going to be like a serpent on the road. What's a serpent on the road? A serpent on the road, that when a snake is on the road, it camouflages itself before it attacks somebody. It's able to kind of slither on, blend in to the colors, and then just attack. That's what a snake is able to do. So too, Shimshon was from the shape of dun, and he was able to camouflage himself, so to say, among the plishtim, when he was able to kind of attack them. So he followed in the prophecy of his lineage. Lepamo b'machne dan. Somehow to like blend into the machne of dan. And we know here that Hashem's shechina, so to say, was able to ring with him like a bell. Because we say here that it like rang like the machne dan, which was referring to how Shimshon represented the machne dan through the prophecy that was given by Yaakov Avinu. Pamon virimon, which is a pasuk brought down by the Kohen Gadol, whose beged has those little pamons, the pomegranates at the bottom, which were the bells that rang wherever he went. So to that ringing has this element here that Hashem was with Shimshon. Rashi just says make hashkeshas lefanav, last Rashi on the page, lelavoso basher holech, that it escorted the Kohen Gadol when he walked around, which again, reflects back on Shimshon, that Hashem was with Shimshon. Hashem, so to say, rang out as Shimshon was moving along in his life. Bein saru bein eshta'ol. Amazing, right here. Just like right here. Unbelievable. I love learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael.
It's amazing.
Just like, there. Amar Rabbi Yassi, what, like 5 minutes away? 8 minutes away? Depends on traffic. Amar Rabbi Yassi, saru eshta'ol shnei harim gedolim hayu. They were, I guess back in the day, they were like two separate mountains. Ve'okron Shimshon ve'tochran zabazeh. And somehow Shimshon was able to like pick them up and grind them two together, bring them two together, which the version bring down seemed to be some sort of element of his status, his kedusha, what he was able to do, that Hashem was with him and he was able to have all the strength to do all kinds of things. Now back to kind of like the intro to Shimshon, that he was this Hoshia, he was the savior to Klal Yisrael, he was a shofet. Amar b'chama b'rebi chanina, huchal shvu aso shel avimelech, that once the shvua of Avimelech, the Shvuah of Avimelech and Avram Avinu to kind of have peace, that once that was nullified, like Lo Yachel Dvaro, nullified, that's when he was able to start to kick in his strength. Iksiv, Im Tishaker Li Ulanimi Ulanechti. Says Avimelech, right, about his kids and the grandkids. The first him say, wait, were his grandkids alive then? If this is only applying to Avimelech's kids and grandkids, Ulanimi Ulanechti, then is this in times of his kids and grandkids, or is it just metaphorical that, no, it's just, we're symbolic, my kids and grandkids, but literally for all future generations. That's discussed in the Mefarshim. Vayigdal hanar, Shimshon grew up, vayivarchehu Hashem, and Hashem blessed him. Bama berecho, what Hashem blessed him with? Amar v'yuda amar av, sheberchu ba'amoso. Hashem literally blessed him. Amoso kivnei odom, v'zara kenachal shoteif. That in his zera, in that area of his body, that's where Hashem blessed him. Beautiful. From the Biuri Hadaf, it's brought down that each person receives koach from Hashem in the area in which his tachlis is able to be fulfilled in this world. So where our strengths are, where our unique talent lies, that's where Hashem's able to bless us. That's what we're truly able to do. Shimshon, his strength or whatever was in that area, and therefore he was able to go to be with these plishtim ladies and kind of do his thing from there. But therefore, we see in general that we should think about ourselves. I think this is brought down, I'm just reminded from a quote I heard a long, long, long time ago, I think from Rav Aaron Cutler, or Kutzker Rebbe, somebody, worse than us not knowing about what we need to improve is like not knowing about like where our strengths are. Something along those lines, I didn't say it right, but like we can't just focus on areas in which we need improvement, but we have to focus on areas that Hashem gave us our strengths and our talents.
My thought is that I'm thinking this is like a negative implication here, because he couldn't have Jewish children with these women.
Well, they did convert. He wasn't able to marry them if they didn't convert. There was a conversion that was taking place, and you'll see with the Rebbe, there was some sort of element of conversion. Right, David? Some element of conversion that was taking place by these women, that they were converting to Judaism. You're right.
It wasn't with a full heart.
Or they reneged, so to say, and they regretted it.
I don't think Delilah did.
I think Delilah did, but then she kind of moved over to the dark side. And that's when she was the fate of his downfall.
They pulled her over.
Right.
They kept insisting that she...
But it's interesting,
because
it doesn't say that he had any children. I mean, if that was his strength, he would think that he would have children.
Right. But at least we could take the message that somehow his tafkid was in that field.
Yeah, he did a lot of weird things.
Tov, let's continue. Vayikra Shimshon El Hashem, and Shimakol El Hashem, Vayomer Shem Lakim, Zachreini na, Zachreini na, Vichoskeini na, Achapam hazeh, Achapam hazeh, Vinakam. I don't know really the words of the song until I'm actually singing it in the Gemara. It's amazing. We dance at weddings. Yeah! I saw Chreini, you know, like, there Shimshon was. He's his eyes knocked out. His arms are attached to a pillar. He's been knocked down the building. We're like, yeah! And he's knocked out his eyes. We're singing. It's always boggles my mind when, like, that song's blasting. Everybody's dancing at a wedding. Like, do we know what we're...
I have a lot of questions about songs, but
anyways, but it's just amazing. So I mean, this is right at the end there, and his arms are attached, his eyes poked out, and Hashem is, and he's telling Hashem, Hashem, just once more, give me strength. Achapam hazeh, let me have literally revenge in one achas mishtei einai miplishtim. Right? So, why only one eye? Let's discuss that shortly, hopefully, but let's come back. Why was it only one eye? Or, you know what, let's just say now. Why was it one eye that he asked for? Meaning, one eye was poked out. He wanted to have revenge on them, and he wanted to kind of kill as many people as he could. And the first one bring down that when he kind of knocked down those pillars, and he had that strength to do so, he killed more plishtim in that moment than he did like in his whole life. That was a great way to go. So
he also committed suicide.
The Ben Yoyada brings down the why in one eye, because he was saying, granted, I need punishment in my eye. I need a punishment in my eye because I followed my eyes. Mida keneged mida. That's why we have this whole thing about Jerusalem right now. Mida keneged mida. But, Hashem, let's have a compromise here. Give me only one eye knocked out, not two. Why? Because I was a shofet for 20 years. And if I have both eyes knocked out, then people will think that, what? I accepted bribes. Because eyes are, so to say, the punishment for accepting bribes for a shofet. And I don't want people to think that I accepted bribes, because I didn't accept bribes. I was a great judge. So please, Hashem, punish me in a way, mida keneged mida, that my eye will still get hurt, but I won't have both eyes out, which people would misconstrue for me being a bad judge. Amarav, Amar Shem Shalom, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shalom, Zechor Li Esrim Shana. Remember these 20 years, Sheshafatati, Esistrov, Lo Marti, Lechon Mehem, and I never said, Haver Li, Mekam, 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 meaning I helped, I was such a good judge for 20 years, please help me finally do this and kind of kill these plishtim. And Shimshon went and he gathered, this is again earlier, that he gathered 300 foxes, he wrapped their tails, he burned things down. Maishna Shulim, why did he gather the foxes in that story? Amar bi evo bar negdi, amar bi chiyo bar abba, amar Shimshon, yavo mi shechozer lachorav, yifrab mi plishtim shechozer bishwasan. Let him take he who backs up when he's retreating, so to say, and we bring down that the fox, apparently, the characteristic of a fox is that when he's being attacked or kind of confronted by something, that he doesn't just like turn around and run, but like he retreats. So he kind of looks back and back and back, but he kind of stays glancing forward, but it retreats. If anybody knows animals, please pipe up. But apparently that's why he wanted to do foxes, to show that the plishtim were the ones who backed down on their shvuah. So let's bring foxes that also just kind of back up to show that they didn't just turn around and move, but they totally reneged on their shvuah itself. Tanir Amir Shimon, Hechosid Beng Seifov, Shel Shimshon Shishim Amah. Haya, that Shish, Rabbi Shimon says, sorry, Amar b'shimon hachosid, bang seifam shel shimshon, shishim am haya, that the width of Shimshon's shoulders were 60 amos, which is about 90 to 120 feet. Shinemar v'yishkav Shimshon al chatzi halayla, and he lay until half the night, v'yikam b'chatzi halayla, v'yachaz b'dlosa shar ir, and he kind of held onto his shoulders the doors of the city, uv'shtei hamzuzos, and the door posts, v'yisa'im im abriach v'yasamal k'seifav, and he put him on the shoulders, u'gmiri, and we have a tradition, we know, dein dlosa sazab, p'chusos me'shishim amah. We know these doors are about 60 amos, and therefore it had to fit onto his shoulders. Of course, you know, the Mepharshim read down, I forget who, I think it's the Benio Yoda, says that it's not literal that it was 120 feet wide. It's just not normal humanity that wouldn't work for people to live in society like that. But it's just trying to show us how strong he really was. He was able to hold these doors. And he was grinding, so to say. He was in the Beis HaSurim. He was jailed. What does the word tochein mean? The word tchina, he was tochein in jail. That's only for a lashon of aver. Titochein la'achar ishti. Pasuk from Iyov, right? Something about grinding in terms of his wife. But that element from Iyov shows that titochein is referring to some sort of sin by his wife, where he's referring to his wife being with another man. Malamed, so what does this mean about Shimshon? She called echad ve'echad, that while Shimshon was in jail, she called echad ve'echad hevi lo es ishto leveis hasurim, that everybody, all these plishim, were bringing their wives to jail, k'dei shetis aber heimenu, so that literally their wives can become impregnated through Shimshon. A couple points. Number one, one of the farshim in the bottom of the Ein Yaakov says that maybe they did this to weaken him. After the accident, he gets a little bit more weakened, so maybe they did this to weaken Shimshon. Or said literally Shimshon can have kids with their wives. Or perhaps that it's more of the fact that if they brought their wives to see Shimshon, it wasn't that Shimshon was sleeping with him, and the Mepharshim start yelling, Shimshon sleep with, like, Shimshon was a great person. As we introed our shir, he was a tremendous tzaddik. He was on a very high level. His slight infractions were slight infractions, but his general intentions were good. So here, it wasn't that he slept with all these women, but rather, what happened? They would see him, notice him, have him in their minds, and then the husbands would be with their wives. And as we know from the story of Yaakov and the sheep, the speckled sheep and the rod, that would have an impact on them, right? So we see that that's what happened. Feel free to take a look at the Sforno by the story of Yaakov and the speckled sheep, and we'll see more there. The Rebbeinu Bechaya just brings down a very powerful point, that if it's true by animals, by Yaakov and the speckled sheep, I think it's Rebbeinu Bechaya there, right there on the pasuk there, when Yaakov does it by the speckled sheep, if it's true by animals, that their das, that their thoughts, that their machshavos, b'shas tashmish, have such an impact on how their offspring come out, so to hear, it must be that by people, it's so much even more powerful. And that's why we know that we have all these halachos in place by us to make sure that kind of the right machshavos are in place, that we're thinking about the right person, our spouses, and that things can be in place to ensure that there's nothing else that's going through our minds.
But Yaakov also switched the breeding of them, no? He took the ones that were, you know, in order to manipulate it, he also switched which ones were breeding with which ones. From a physical point of view, biological point of view, it was actually, like, he wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just the thought, it was also, he was making sure that the speckled ones were breeding with this one in order to have a certain outcome.
But he also had that pull there, with, like, the
right.
Stuff. Right. Amazing.
It was order. Maybe it was in order to attract him to his actual.
Amar Papa, thanks, David. Amar Papa, Haim Damarin Shi, Kamei Deshasi Chamra. Chamra, someone who like drinks wine, kind of like bring them wine. Kamei Refuka, Grida, Divla, and in front of a gardener bring vegetables. Just kind of commenting on what happened there. Amar Biachan Kol Hamazana Ishto Mazana Zalaf. Kol Hamazana. This is a. Probably less of a mitzvah as a reality in every case, but it's more of a concept of what generally results. That if somebody, if a man, finally, Ali, the spotlight's on the man, kol hamazana, that if a person has an extramarital affair, ishto mezananas alav, that the wife also is probably involved with something of that nature. Shenemar, im nefata libi alisha, val pesach ro'i arbasi. Uksiv also, titochein lachar ishti, valeo yichron acharin. From those Sukkimini of Hainu Damarinchi, Iu Bei Kari, he, so to say, with a pumpkin, Vitse Bei Buutini, she with a smaller one also. But again, all these things are trying to show that oftentimes similar results would happen in a marriage in the same home. Rabbi Yochanan, Shimshon Donos Kol, Es Yisrael Kavim Shabashamayim. Shem Shem was so great that he was judging Klal Yisrael like Kavim Shabashamayim. Shenemar. Don Din Amok, Achad, Vegomer. Yachad Shifte Yisrael. The Pasuk continues to say. Vamar Yochanan Shem Shem al Shemosh al Kodesh Baruch Nikra. Shem Shem was called literally by the name of Hashem. Shenemar. Ki Shemesh Umagin Hashem Elkim Vegomer. Right? Shemesh. Like Shem Shon. Umagin Hashem Elkim. That Hashem is called like Shemesh and Mogain. Similar. Shemesh is like Shem Shon. That's the way that Hashem was called. I think it's right here. Let's do a little bit more. Elamata lo yimache. So can you not erase the name Shimshon because it's like the name of Hashem? Elamin Shemosh Kodesh Baruch Hu. No, it's not really the name of Hashem. It's just like the name of Hashem. Makodesh Baruch Hu Magin al kol am kulo. Av Shimshon Magin bedor shel Yisrael. So to Shimshon was Magin on the generation of Jews. We can't go through right now, but the Tosfos here brings up what happens if a person's name is Shalom. Shalom. Can you erase the name Shalom? Can you say the name Shalom? The Mefarshim, the Mishnah Berurah talks about it. Can you say the name Shalom in the bathroom? Shalom is the real name of Hashem. It's not just a description of Hashem. Shalom is one of the names of Hashem. Anyways, here's the source in the Tosfos here because of the way we describe Shimshon and one being one of the aspects of Hashem. Bar Yochanan, Bilam Chiger, Brahma Achasoyan. Bilam was lame in one of his feet. Shnemar vayelach shefi. He went kind of lame. Shimshon chiger v'shtei raglav, and Shimshon was lame in both of his feet. Shnemar shvifon alai arach. He was lame in both legs. Right? Shefi is one leg. Shvifon is going to be two legs. And it's amazing to see what he was able to do. Nevertheless, even though he was weak in both of his legs. Tanur banan chamisha nevru main dugma shel mala. That there are five things that are created literally with the attribute of above. Kulan Lokubahan, and they were all kind of hit with them. Shimshon Bekocho, Shaul Bitsavaro, Avshalom Bisaro, Shimshon with his strength, Shaul Bitsavaro, Shaul with his neck, Avshalom Bisaro, Avshalom with his hair again, as we said yesterday that he was hung by his hair. Tzidkiyah Ve'enov, and Tzidkiyah Ve'enov, Asa Baraglov, Shimshon Bekocho, Dixiv, Vayasar Kocho Me'alov, Shaul Bitsavaro, Dixiv, Vayikach Shaul Esacher, Vayipol Aleh. And Shaul there, kind of at the end, he fell on a sword. There's a discussion there. Was it suicide? Not. This is at the end of Shmuel Aleph. Avshalom Bisaro Kedaba Inon Lemimar Kamon. And Avshalom with his hair, as we're going to discuss at the end of the daf or by tomorrow's daf, Emir Tashem. Tzidkiyah Beinav Dixiv Vesena Vesenai Tzidkiyah Iver. Asa Bragov Dixiv Rakl Ezikna Chor Es Raglov. V'amar Vyuda Amar Avsha Chazoso Padagra. And therefore he got gout. Amarle Marzucher Bridge of Nachman the Rav. Aler of Nachman, Hechidami Padagra, what's this thing of gout? Amarle Kimachat Basar Achai, it shows how much pain that there was. It felt like needle in the flesh. And where do we know that Rav Nachman, how does Rav Nachman know that what Padagra was? Ikadamri Mecha Shava Choshpe, some say he knew what gout was, he knew what Padagra was because he had it. Vikadamri may Rabbi Shmuel Shamalai. Some people say he heard it from his Rebbe. It was passed down. Vikadamri sod Hashem Rav Uri so laho diem. That Hashem passed on through Ruach HaKodesh, similar to what we had a few dafim ago about who? Good. What's his name? Ben Azai. He had a very similar three. Right? Either he married and he got divorced. That's how he knew how long the Shas Tashmish was. Or he heard it from his Rebbe. Or he heard it through Ruach HaKodesh. Very similar three type of answers here. Dar Shabba Mibnei Manan Shasa Mibnei Shasa Angari B'Talmid Yecham. Why did Arya want Aska get punished because of his Angari B'Talmid Yecham? Because his fight with Yecham. Shenemar V'Hamelech Asa Yishmias Kol Yudah Ein Naki. My Ein Naki. What does it mean Ein Naki? It wasn't clean. Amar Vida Amar Afilu Chosan Mechadoro Mekala Mechupaso. And therefore Kolshkin, everybody else, it means that everybody else had to go to war. Naki is referring to a chosan because we say Naki Yilabeso, therefore kind of everybody had to go out. Ksiv, by the two dots, we only have about 8 minutes left to the shir, and I'm not even sure if I can speak that quickly to say all the words that have to be said today. So let's try. Ksiv, Vayir Shimshon Timnasa, Shimshon went down to Timnah. Uksiv, Hine Chamicha Ola Timnasa. But there it says that he, by Yehuda, it says that he went up to Timnah. So is Timnah literally down or up? If they're coming from a similar location, then what is Timnah, up or down? Amar Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Loza says, no, it's metaphorical. Why? Shimshon, Shinesganaba, Shimshon that was about to do something bad, Ksiv Be Yerida, is literally a, not that he was physically going down, but he was spiritually going down. Yehuda, Shines Alaba, Ksiv Be Aliyah. And Yehuda that was going up, so it says an Aliyah. Like when we make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't matter if we're coming from a northern country or a southern country, we're making Aliyah, it's more of a, or Yerida to Chutzlar, it's that similar type of frame.
That Timnah is on a high place in the Beit Shemesh.
Sorry?
The street Timnah is on a high place. Interesting.
Because those who live on Timnah, it's a metaphorical, or not a metaphor, you know, they're going up to Timnah. But he went down, right. So Yehuda went up to Timnah. He went down to Timnah, and that was where we started the Argumar, because he followed his eyes, and he went down to Timnah there. Rebbe Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Shtei Timnosai. No, no, it wasn't that it was metaphorical, kind of good or bad, in more of a spiritual sense. It was literally that there's two Timnos. Chada B'Yirida V'Chada B'Aliyah. One was up and one was down. Rav Papa, third answer. Rav Papa Amar Chada Timna Havai. No, there's really one Timna. Da'asi Mehagisa Yirida. But it depends which direction you come from. From this direction, it's down. Uda'asi Mehagisa Aliyah. It just depends where you're coming from. Kagon Vardunya Ubei Bari Veshuka Dinarsh. Other places, I guess, where it just depends which direction you're coming from, whether you're going up or down. Vateshav Bepesachinaim Tamar. Switching gears now, I'm going to Yehuda. We just kind of shifted from Shimshon to Yehuda in a very interesting way. They both went to Timna. All right, now let's go to Yehuda. Amar Alexandri Mamichel Chavayeshav V'yash V'lo B'Pisco Shel Avram Avinu. Literally, when Tamar sat at the Pesach Einayim, what does that mean? That she went to go sit by the Pesach of Avram Avinu, Malkom Shekol Einayim Sofos Leroso, the place where all of our eyes turn to, right? The Mizrahi on the Chumash says, which place is this? The Maris HaMachpelah, Shabbos Chevron. Again, a nice solution to the power of the Maris HaMachpelah. May that area be safe. Please God. Rabbi Chan Amar, Rabbi, Mokom Hu Shesh Shamo Einayim. No, it was a place that was called Einayim, not the Maris HaMachpelah. Rabbi Chan Amar, Tapuach V'Einayim. It seems to be that it was a place. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar, Shenosna Einayim Lidvareha. Literally, she was very convincing with her word. Shenosna Einayim Lidvareha. Kishe Tav'a, because when Yehuda came, Amar La, Shemanachersat, Yehuda said, wait, are you a non-Jew? Amar La, Amar Lake, you're saying, no, I'm a convert. Shema, and this is before the Torah was given, by the way. Interesting. She was a convert? Okay, interesting. Shema, Eshes, Ishat, Amrle, Pinuyan. You don't know. I'm available. I'm not a married lady. Shema, Kibel, Boch, Avicha, Kiddushin. Maybe you weren't married, but maybe your father once accepted Kiddushin on your behalf. Amrle, Yisomai. No, I'm an orphan. Therefore, that never happened. Shema, Tameat. Maybe you are Tame. Maybe you're a Nida. Amrle, Tar. You don't know. I'm Tar. She was very convincing to Yehuda that they're able to be together. Vayita, Eshel, Be'er, Sheva. Avram planted a Eshel in Be'er, Sheva. Last week's Parsha. Baruch Hashem, Amr Yishlakish, Parshas Vayira, Milamish Asa Pardes, Venota Bo, Kolmenei Megodin. He planted a vineyard and did all kinds of fruit there. Rebuta, Rebbe Nechemia, Chad Amr Pardes, Vachad Amr Pundak. Ah, one says the Pardes, famous Machalkas. What was this? Eshel, right? It was either a Pardes, an orchard, or it was an inn. Bishlam Elamandam Amr Pardes, Hainu Dixiv Vayita. If it was an orchard, great, that's what he planted, literally planted a field. Elamand Amr Pundak, but if corner of the painting that says that it was an inn, my vayita. What do you mean that he planted? Right, to pitch the tents of the palace, kind of say to pitch the tents of the inn, you're still able to say the words vayita, right? And we know, I think it's Rashi on the pasuk there, right? That says that what does Eshel stand for, right? Achila, Shasia, and Lina, right? No? Anyways. Tov, right? If it was that sort of inn, Avram was totally involved with his Hachnas Zorachim in always. Very good, shame. Shem, b'shem Hashem, Kel Olam. He called the place Kel Olam. Amar Yesh Lakish Al Tirkei Vayikra. It's not that he called the place Kel Olam by Avram Ravinu, by this Eshel. Ela Vayakri, turning over to Amud Beis. Vayakri, meaning it was called on his behalf. Why? Milami Shehikri Avram Ravinu L'shmo Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu B'peh Kol Over Vishav. Amazing. We like know these Gemaras, but now we get to see them inside. It means that Avram Ravinu had everybody else call it by Hashem's name. How? Ketzad. How did he do that? What did he do? La'achar she'ochlo v'shoso. That after they ate and drank by this Eshel, Amdo Levarcho. Then they came to bless him. Amar Lemon, what did they say? V'chi mishaliach al to him? They came to say, thank you, Avram, for the food. And he said, did you eat from my food? Is it my food? Mishelo keel lo machaltem. It's really Hashem's food. Hodo v'shivchu v'archu l'mishamar v'ayolam. So go thank Hashem for his food. I'm just the conduit. I'm the vehicle that gave it to you. But really go thank Hashem. V'ayira Yehuda v'echshevel zona. Back to Yehuda. And Yehuda saw and thought she was zona. Ki chisa panel. Because her face was covered. Says the Gemara, Mishum dechasta panel chashvel zona. Because she had covered her face. Therefore he thought that she was a zona. Amar v'lazer. She kissed up panel v'veis chamiya. No. It wasn't that she covered her face on the road. But because her face was always covered in the house of Yehuda, that's why he thought that she was a zona. Beautiful. The Ben Yehuda says, let's do a few lines. Damar Yehuda, Damar Bishmuel Bar Nachmini, Amar Rebbe Yonasan, Kol Kal Shi Tznua Beveis Chamiya, and he called that's literally Tznua in her father-in-law's home. Zocha V'yotzin Menem Melachim Unavim has the merit of coming out from her, Melachim, kings and prophets. Unavim Milolan, and where do you know this from? Mitamar, from Tamar. Nevi'im Diksev, how do we know that she had Nevi'im coming out from her? Chazon Yishayahu Ben Amos. We have Chazon Yishayahu Ben Amos, who's from David HaMelech. Melachim mi David, and kings from David. Vamar Rebbe Levi, Davar Zeh Misur Misuras Ubiodenu, Amavasina, Amotz Vamatzia, Achim Havu. That Amotz and Amatzia were brothers. and Yeshaya was the prophet. Amatzia, like all kings, was from Yehuda, and therefore he was a descendant from Tamar. So his brother, Amotz, and Yeshaya, so his brother was Amotz, and Yeshaya was the son of Amotz, so we see that from Tamar, had prophets and had kings come out from her. The Ben Yehuda says, what's the Mida Keneged Mida? We're talking about Mida Keneged Mida, right? So what's the Mida Keneged Mida of a Kala covering her face in her father-in-law's home? That's why she should have Melachim and Nevi'im coming out from her. So, right, so the Ben Yehuda says that that Tzenuah element, that when a woman is a Tzenuah, she prevents people from stumbling. She prevents people from stumbling. What does a king do? He prevents people from stumbling. He kind of sets up laws and makes sure that people can be safe and live harmoniously side by side. A prophet also prevents spiritual stumbling. So that a king is physical stumbling, a prophet is spiritual stumbling, so too, she prevented people from stumbling. So Tamar had the schus of being the kind of the ancestor.
Conduit.
Thank you. The conduit of having Melachim and Nevi'im come out from her that also prevented stumbling. Let's do a little bit more. 6:40. Okay. Let's pause here. 6:40. Let's pause here because we have to start with the brachos. And I wish us all a great day. And in Mitzvah tomorrow, we will continue. And hopefully by Friday, we'll be like really up to date on the daf. But we're moving along. These daf are just huge. And I wish you all a wonderful day. Okay.
Thank you.